What's up? What's up, your backup plan tribe? Hey there, you amazing guys. I am beyond excited to dive into today's show of Talking Taboo with Tina podcast, brought to you by, the incredible team at Your Backup Plan. I'm so excited to be here today with you guys. You know, I have such a strict purpose on being here, and that's to help others understand traumas in their life, and really, you know, look at what's happened in their life and what, how they turn things around. And today is such an incredible show, bringing to you from Nebraska and in the United States. I can't talk today. And she is a speaker, a coach, an author, a podcaster, a real estate investor, and a course, a mom and a wife. And our show is called Battling Demons, Stitching Life Together After Loss. You know, we talk about grief, we talk about loss on our show all the time. And of course, it brings up a very important topic, which is how did they leave their estate after? How did they leave their stuff? Because when we're here and when we're in our 3D world and our bodies and working and having a family and all of that stuff, it's so busy, we forget about our stuff. And our stuff is making plans to put it all together in one safe place so that your family and friends, your loved ones know where to find it and can access it at the drop of a hat. And that's what we're all about here today. So that being said, let's get on this, on with our story. I'm Tina. I'm not your typical mom, but a real person and on a mission to help families and individuals face life's curveballs head on, having an app at your side as you're an assistant, as you can then move on and have things there for yourself as well as for your loved ones. So that being said, I am an emergency preparedness coach, a creator and developer of Your Backup Plan, and of course, a podcaster on Talking Taboo with Tina. So let's get the party started and let's bring on Tabitha just after a quick commercial break.
In the blink of an eye, life can change dramatically. On our podcast, Talking Taboo with Tina, we delve into these life-altering events with celebrities, authors, and everyday people just like you. You'll also discover Your Backup Plan app, a life organizing tool designed to prepare you for any unexpected circumstance. It's your safety net, taking the sting out of tragedy. Imagine a plan B that ensures your finances are safe, even in the worst case scenario. But it doesn't end there. Join our vibrant Facebook group for free webinars on backup planning and secure your future today.
Yay, let's bring on Tabitha all the way from Nebraska. Welcome, welcome, Tabitha.
Hello, thank you for having me, Tina.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you on today to talk about your journey, and it's an incredible one, and I'm not going to give out any tips or hints to the story just yet, because I know that you will. So where did all of this craziness journey start for you, Tabitha?
Yeah. So when you ask me that, you know, it's like, how far back do I go? In a span of 5 years, I lost, and I apologize for my voice for you out there if I sound a little raspy. In a span of 5 years, I had lost my mom, my sister, and my grandmother, my maternal grandmother. And so, you know, I look at that, my mom passed away in 2015 and my grandma had passed away in 2020. So looking now at being 2024, and when Tina asked me this question, you know, my mom had been sick for a lot of years since I was two, actually. Oh, wow. So since 1987. And Tina asked me this question, was she ready? Did she have her stuff in order? And she really didn't. And I think about why. And honestly, yeah. I think it's because my dad took care of everything. I mean, you know, she didn't contribute financially to the family, and my dad had a life insurance policy on her. Like, he took care of all of it. So I think she just was like, okay. And we knew that she wanted to be cremated. Like we had that talk because, you know, when other family members die, you just, that comes up in conversation. Do you want to be buried? Do you want to be cremated? And so we did kind of know that, which was nice because every decision that you don't have to make when your family member passes away is a relief. Because if there is any sort of indecision in that high emotional state, family members can, you can butt heads. And that
that never happened.
Right. And that did happen when my older sister passed away. I have two older sisters and the middle sister passed away. And me and my older sister kind of had a battle of the brains here of something that she would want because she wasn't prepared at all. And so there was something. She was single, but she had two children.
Okay.
And so, she had a house. She had, you know, we didn't know what she had for like insurance or anything of that nature. And the crazy thing about that is less than a year prior, or it was about a year previous, she had a really life altering. She was an addict. And so like, there was a lot of things and we can dive into that, but there was a moment previous, about a year previous, that she'd almost passed away. Like, I mean, it was to the point where we were like together as a family, like we didn't know, and she still didn't have stuff. And I think about like, why didn't we even ask? And with her, it was emotional. And I know that even if I brought it to her, she would have just pushed it away, as most people do. Like, if I don't talk about it, it won't happen.
Yeah.
And that's just a lie. I mean, it just is. And, you know, we had lost our mom. And so we knew that, you know, loss and things, but,
and when what my mom, there is to deal yeah, with. And, yeah.
Right. And when my mom passed away, there really wasn't a lot of things, I'll be completely honest, that were like, that shook us up as a family, like with what you're talking about, preparedness. And I think that's just because my dad was like, he had all the things, like financially and all like life insurance and all of those things. Now, if she would have had any unexpected like accounts or something like that, that would have came up, but she really didn't. Like her and my dad that way, like he kind of took care of that stuff. And I think because she was sick and not in the financial place, then she didn't have that. But if you have those things and you have different accounts as of like somebody today, you know, several couples who even have family relationships have different bank accounts. My parents were very old school. So like they didn't, they had, everything was joint. So nothing was really like necessarily shocking that way. It was more us being prepared as a family to deal with going forward without our mom. You know,
and what she wanted.
Right. And like exactly what she wanted as far as picture on her gravestone. Like I think we made a very educated, amazing guess for that. But like there's just things like, or even the song choice, you know, at her funeral and stuff like that. Like those were choices that we did have to make that would have been nice if it was just all prepared. Like when my grandma passed away, like everything was done. She was very good about being prepared. She was also 90 and she had financial things already in place. But what I would say to hers was, although she was a lot more prepared, she had a lot of financial and land things. So if you are someone who's listening that has a lot of assets in the family, the way she divided it was a shock. And I wish she would have had that discussion. Now, my mom had passed away, so it would have been a discussion with us grandkids, and it comes down to us. But there was a few shocker things when they read the will as far as how the land and the money was divided. We chose to take the high road and be like, that's fine, that's her wishes. But a lot of people might not have, and caused a divide in the family. And I think it's really important for somebody, especially if you have a lot of wealth, land, assets, you must have those hard conversations with the people, because like you might say, oh, I'm gone, so it doesn't matter. But like those people have that moment when they read the will, and if they're shocked at all, and then they're emotionally distraught because they just lost someone they love, then the anger comes up. And then the anger sometimes goes to the person who got the land and they had no choice. I mean, they didn't know, or maybe they did, but like what, you know, I don't know. But like for us, that was the thing. Like, even though she was prepared, she didn't prepare us. And I think that's really important that people don't necessarily talk about either. And I do legacy wealth building. So I did a lot of research on like wealth created first generation, as opposed to like by the third generation, 90% of that wealth is gone. And when I was doing research for this, a lot of people said that they do not talk to their kids or their grandkids about what they're leaving them. And I just think that it's a hard conversation sometimes, but it's a must conversation, because these people, when you're reading the will and they've had this loss and then they're shocked by what they got, or they don't know, or they don't have an understanding or whatever, all that confusion does is it just causes more pain. And I always said when my grandma was alive, I wanted her to spend more of her money when she was on earth, because she was very frugal. And she always wanted to go on a cruise with her entire family, and she wanted to pay for it. And my uncle, they didn't travel. They didn't fly. They didn't do anything. And I said, Grandma, just go with the people that want to go with you, because we love you. I don't want your money when you're gone. Like, I want to enjoy it with you. Right. And so, and she never did. And so, you know, just those little things of like looking at what you really want to leave your legacy and for your people. And those hard conversations might be hard, but it really does make it easier for your family to grieve you and to move forward in your legacy in the right way without any unforgiveness or begrudging attitudes and stuff. So from my mom to my grandma and everything in between, we dealt with people like my sister was completely unprepared, like completely unprepared. And my mom was kind of, because my dad was there, obviously. And then my grandma was super prepared, but left out a very emotional, I think, piece of the puzzle that should have been addressed.
And, you know, it's funny because in a lot of instances, I talk to people and they'll say, oh, I'm prepared. My husband does it. Well, we don't know if your husband's looked after everything. And there are things that need your discussion and conversation around. Right. Also, we talk about having family conversations, and that's why we have family conversations. But, you know, when you go to an accountant or to an attorney or a lawyer to have these discussions about your will, your power of attorney, or your living will, or whatever that you're discussing, you don't necessarily have family conversations around any of those emotional parts of the puzzle.
Right.
So with your backup plan, that's where we bring in sections of, well, where's your house key? You know, because you might have a sister or brother that you don't have their house key. You usually just call them and show up at their door. But if something happened to them tomorrow.
Well, something big that people don't understand, and this was one of the things when my sister passed away, one of the hardest things to shut down or get turned off was her phone. So we didn't know her passcode. We didn't know any of her security settings. And like, she was going to be billed for her thing. And we called the phone company and they're like, you don't have authorization to do anything. We're like, well, she's dead. And they're like, you have to send us. I mean, just caveat, like, we literally were like, I mean, we had to be that blunt because they were giving us the runaround. And they said, well, you have to give us her death certificate. Well, that wasn't going to come for at least a month, or like by the time we got there, that's a billing cycle. And that's stupid. You know, and so there was just even stuff like that, like turning off the gas or whatever. They have to wait. And I get it. They are legally bound because, you know, people could say, oh, I died and I didn't, you know, they just want to get out of their bill. But not having somebody on your account that's, you know, authorized to do those things is super important, because you go through another billing cycle. That could be $1,000 worth of bills. Now, some companies will reimburse, like if you show the death certificate, but not always. And then when you're in the midst of it, you're not thinking about paying their bills. You're trying to literally move on. Right. And so just the, like, just those little things. Cause I remember my older sister called me and was like, do you know her passcode? And I'm like, I don't. And they're like, oh my gosh, we can't get into her phone. We can't access this. And we got to do this. And then she'd gotten a new phone. So like, it was going to cost them all this stuff. And, you know, we kind of laugh about it now, but like in the midst of it, you're just kind of annoyed and pissed. And like the whole process of it, you know, of how it's like working out and, yeah. So just like those little things, I think it's just important to have somebody else. You know, I've been thinking about like me and my husband and we talk about it. And even just after talking with you and doing this podcast, I'm like, we have got to get some stuff in order. Cause we talk about it and we have discussions over it, but like nothing that's super concrete. Like I have a lot of accounts for my business that he wouldn't know, and they would just charge us for the month. And, you know, having all of that, even in a file that's like when I'm dead or something, I mean, you know, we joke about it, but like, seriously, it needs to be something that's like in order for people through that grief. And they can go in there, even a third party, like someone who's maybe not super close to the family could come in and shut off all of those things, close down those accounts, make sure everything's that so that the family doesn't necessarily have to. And so I think having that in place is really important too.
Well, it's interesting to see how each one of your women in your life had things differently. Not at all, some little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And I've talked to some and said, oh, it's all done. Well, it can't be all done. I'm sorry. Because I teach people every single day, you know, about all the things that you probably didn't even think about.
Right. Like with my grandma, a lot of her stuff on paper would have looked like it was done. And it technically was, but it wasn't. Because we had no idea. So I want to ask your audience, like, if you think you're done, have you shared with your family? Like, this is who's getting the china. This is who's getting the, like, even the little things. Like, I remember when my husband's grandma passed away, she wanted her family to get whatever they wanted. Like, you know, if it was the china hutch or whatever, and then whatever was left, they could auction off. But if somebody from the family wanted it, but they didn't do that. Like it all went to auction. So like my husband's siblings had to buy from auction what they wanted from her.
Oh,
damn. And yeah. And so, and it was again, a miscommunication with the aunts or the upper whatever, and they had to buy it. And you know, that creates hurt feelings. Even if they forgive, it's still like that ickiness of like, you know, I had to, this was not what grandma wanted, or somebody says, this is what grandma wanted. And somebody says, no, this is what she wanted, you know, write it down, put it in writing, you know, make it really clear of what you want, because we all hear things differently and we all see things differently. And especially when you're going through the grief process, it's, you know, we're like, I'm right. Like, I remember they said this specific thing and somebody says, no, I remember I specific thing. And it really creates that divide. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I think even when you think you're done, it's like, but do the people around you know that? Like, is it really like, do you have everything, like all of that and emotionally? And some of it, you may not ever be fully prepared. Like, because the emotion of death, I don't care how prepared you think you are, even if you know that that person's gonna die. My mom was really sick. My sister, we knew like with her body, it wasn't, and it was still a shock and it was still heart wrenching and it was still mind fog. And I don't know what to do next. And we kind of knew.
So it's, you were going to call it something else.
Yeah. And so it's just, yeah.
Such a mess, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, with that, it's like, I feel like it's a gift to your family if you prepare them in a way that's like, this is all the thing. Don't just say like, well, they can take what they want. That doesn't solve anything. No. Because if there's more than one person involved, there's always going to be like, well, I wanted that thing. Or like, you know, that meant a lot to me. Well, that meant a lot to me too. Or, you know, I thought I was getting this or that. And so it's like, when you can just divide it, because I have 5 daughters and I didn't preface that. So I have 5 daughters. And my husband always says, who's getting the wedding ring? Cause I got one ring. Right? Right. And I say, well, you need to get me 4 more anniversary rings that I can give out. And they have to be all of the same quality because they're all going to want it because it's representing me. It's representing their father. Like, that means a lot to them. How fair is it for me to be like, well, you guys decide who gets it, right? And so I think just really sitting down with your family, as hard as it is to have that conversation, I feel like it's doing them a disservice if you don't have that conversation with them. Oh, Tina, I think I lost you. But so I'll just keep talking. If you're live and you, Tina, I don't know what happened to Tina, but I feel like if you are somebody who, you know, you don't want to have that hard conversation because it's uncomfortable, and death is just one of those things that we want to avoid because it hurts and it brings up a lot of emotion, but we can't, like, you cannot just, you know, bury it and pretend like it doesn't happen. And oh my gosh, we lost Tina. So, I don't know. I think we're still live and I think she'll come back on, but yes, it shows that we're still live. So I will keep going. But if you are somebody who it avoids that conversation and it's really uncomfortable for you, I just encourage you, look at it like a gift for your family to say, everything's done. Like, I want to be buried. This is the coffin I want. This is the headstone I want. These are the songs I want. This is the poem I want. This is the funeral arrangements. This is how I want things divided, even having that conversation. Now, if you're young and you have young kids and they don't know, you know, if there's certain things that you want for your kids, like, I want, you know, this for my daughter, my oldest daughter, they want this for my younger daughter or my son or whatever, like, write that down and put it down on paper for them so that they know. Because otherwise, it's really hard when you're in the midst of it. And, you know, I'm smiling now because I have healed a lot of those wounds. But when I think back to when they happened, it was hard. And I mean, there's even things still with, like, my grandma's estate that it's really frustrating. And it really hurts my heart to think, like, that we were, you know, we view it like we weren't enough or like we got the shaft or, you know, whatever. And I know that that's really probably not what she was thinking, but that's how I'm interpreting it because she never had a conversation with us about that. And so it was just really painful. And I wish that she would have had that conversation with us. So even if you are, you know, whether you're young and you can have all these plans about it or when you're older, like, do not just put it to paper and, like, put it in a folder and put it aside. Like, pull it out, bring it to your family. Think about that. I'm going to see if Tina, if she messaged me. Oh, she says she's coming back on. So hopefully she can just jump back on, but we will see. So anyway, so that's what my piece of advice would be. And like I said, like, I talk about, like, legacy wealth building. Well, it's no good if you have all these, like, income properties or investments if you do not teach your kids how to not only hold on to them, but who gets them and building it and keeping it. And keeping it in the family. And that all goes to you. And you're, like, leading the family with what you're going to leave them. So, you know, I don't know what else, you know, Tina really wants me to share. But let's see. When I will go back to when my sister passed away, because she did have two kids. And they were minors. And we were fortunate enough that my dad did know a lot of her financial stuff. So he was able to go in and cancel a lot of stuff. And, like, he knew her financials and her house and all of those things. And some stuff was done locally where we live. And so he was able to take care of that again, but it definitely wasn't easy. And there's still some, that was happening in 2018. And there's some stuff that we still, like, to this day, she died in 2018. Okay. So it's been five and a half years. It was 5 years in August. We still do not have her headstone. And it's because we wanted approval. Hey, Tina, I've just been talking. So I don't know. I'm talking about when my sister passed away, which was 5.5 years ago. She We still don't have her headstone because obviously she didn't have it picked out and we had picked one out. And we went back and forth between a picture on it and we, her daughter was in college and like, hey, this is the picture. And it was going through me and I tell my dad, you know, all this like through the line and we still don't have it. And it would have been so nice if she would have just had that all taken care of because here it is 5.5 years later, still don't have the headstone. Now, I don't recommend that for anybody. Be a little bit more on top of it. But for me, it's not a top priority. You know, it's not on my top 10 things to do today. But, you know, it's like people ask me, hey, I want to go see Amy's gravestone. Where is it? And I'm like, well, it's still the same where it was before, you know, and it's still the cross and there's still a spot for her, but yeah. The official headstone still isn't there. So, I mean, if that tells you to not be like, you need to be prepared, I don't know what will.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times people do if they know, like I know with cancer patients and stuff, but then there are some that say it's, you know, I have relatives or friends or family that are sitting beside their mom who's passing and she's calling me and she says, I don't know how to ask her where her accounts are. I don't know what she wants for this. I don't know, but she won't answer me because she keeps saying I'm fine.
Right. It's just avoidance. I mean, at the end of the day, dealing with death is just hard. It brings up a lot of emotion of hurt and pain. And if we don't talk about it, we don't have to talk about it. I mean, me and my husband still like, I mean, we know we've talked about like where our kids would go if we passed away, but it's not in writing. I mean, we've talked to the relatives. And so like push comes to shove. I'm not so worried about it, but it's like, it needs to be done. It's painful to think about, but it needs like, there's a lot of things that we have 5 kids, you know? And so I think it's dealing with that. And like kids don't want to necessarily like prod their parents. Like you need to get your stuff in order, you know, because it's like, they're the kids and they still view them as the parents. Like, oh, they got it. They know. But like prod your parents or prod your grandparents and be like, get your stuff in order. And if there is something in the family that you want, or like you see, like, you know, like getting like an account, like your name on an account, like if you have a grandparent, get your name on their account so that you can access it. Most cell phone companies will allow like a second user just so like when that happens, it's just easier. Like this is just all to make it easier. It's not like anything's definitely impossible, but it just makes it easy. And like death is already hard. So if there's something that you can do that makes it, and then you don't have to go back and be like trying to get the money back and trying, you know, and sending the death certificate and doing all these things that are like so unnecessary. It's just a pain in the butt. And you can just kind of avoid all that.
Oh, it's so true, because I noticed that a lot of the times you spend so much time going over it and speaking to someone else and then speaking to someone else. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you even get the wrong information. And I'll give you an example. I think it was a cell phone company. I can't even remember now. But when you explain the situation, they'll say, well, they keep on going back. Well, I can't because the person's passed away. Well, blah, 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 blah. No, I can't. Like, how many times do we have to keep saying it?
Yep.
And if it hurts, like if it's your husband, somebody close, it's even harder.
Yep. Yeah.
Because it's hard to say out loud. Like you have it in your mind, but you don't want to keep saying it out loud because it hurts too much.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
What happened to your sister's kids then? Like, what did they do?
So they had, they have a father and he just lived a couple blocks from them. So like they officially moved in with him and we were close with him. So like, again, nothing was like for us was, you know, super turmoil. But I know other people, you know, with divorced situations and somebody dies, then they take them away and you don't get to see them. And it's heart wrenching. But in that instance, like there was nothing, like, it's not like she could have left the kids to me or my dad because their dad was fit to raise them, you know? And hopefully you have a good enough relationship that way. But yeah, the house, like I said it while you were gone, but my dad knew a lot of her financials. So a lot of things came and he just switched it to his name, like her house and her bills. And he just switched it and then took care of it. But not a lot of people have that luxury. He just stepped right in. That's just what my dad does. And he just kind of took care of it. But like the house he still has and he gets rent from it. And it goes in a trust for the kids, I believe, and different things like that. And so there's just stuff that like will go to her kids, but she didn't have a lot either. It's just the nature of being an addict. There wasn't a whole lot going that part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, there's a lot of just little things that would have been nice if they were, you know, taken care of. But okay. I know her personality and I could have never seen her prepare because she just didn't want to believe it. No. And that was part of her being an addict too. You know, it was just like avoidance. Let me avoid the pain. Let me numb the pain. That's never going to happen. This is that. So that wasn't abnormal, you know, for her personality type.
Yeah. I've had a few clients that have had husbands who passed away and they might not have been an addict, but they had a small business and had a lot of toys. Mm-hmm. And when you have a lot of toys, what does the wife do with all of this stuff? Do they know how much its value is? Do they know to sell it or keep it? Do they know how it operates? Do they know what it's worth? Like, there are so many things to talk about. Before the person goes, you know, like it's a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
And how did the kids cope? Are they doing okay?
Yeah, I mean, they are really doing great. You know, that was, like I said, that was about almost, it was 5.5 years ago. Her oldest daughter's married and a PA and her son's in college and they had a really great support system, you know, and we were there for them for everything. You know, have they fully healed from the trauma? Probably not, because I don't know that they've really dove into, like, you know, the addiction. Because they, I mean, she was an addict most of their life. And so, you know, dealing with that stuff. But we always try to bring it up. And like, even with my kids, like they know Aunt Amy, like the struggles that she went through. And we still love her and all those things. And I mean, we talk about her very in a vibrant way, but like that what she did, like, inevitably caused this. And, you know, that's painful to talk about sometimes. And, you know, we just, even with her kids, we talk about it openly as much as they want to, but I'm not here to push them into like, you have to do it. Yeah. Because everybody grieves in different ways and it can literally take decades, especially with what they really went through and saw. And some of the stuff we don't even know what they saw or experienced. So we're just here loving them as a family and growing and moving forward as a family.
Sounds like they have a lot of family though.
Yeah, they do. And their dad, they're really close with their dad, which helps. And like I said, we have like me and my older sister, and then I have two other brothers that are uncles to them. And so they definitely have the support there. And they're always welcome in my home and they come for holidays and, I helped do their graduations and their weddings and everything. So
what do you think was the worst part of both of those passing away? Would you say the most difficult emotionally was?
Probably the thing that I had to work through was forgiving myself for the anger I had when they were alive. As far, and what I mean by that is like with my mom, I felt like she was giving up like the last 5 years of her life. And I felt like she was becoming a person I could hardly recognize. And I was super close with my mom. And so I was angry because I was fighting for her and I felt like she wasn't fighting for herself. And so I, you know, I wasn't always kind or I wasn't always loving. And same with my sister, like there was a lot of things because we were super close growing up. And then as we got older and the addiction became stronger, there was a divide. And so I put a lot of walls up and the end of their life, I was able to reconcile really well with my sister. And I was able to tell my mom how amazing she was because both of them, I was there when they passed.
Oh, wow.
So with my mom, I was able to look at her in the eyes in the hospital with her coherent and say, like, you're an amazing mom. I'm so sorry. You know, do you forgive me? But it was forgiving myself and forgiving them. You know, addiction's a hard one. Even with my mom's illness, there was just a lot of coping things that happened that I had to forgive them and I had to forgive myself, which was even harder. But there was so much freedom in that. And then being okay with the fact that I was okay with them passing. And what I mean by that is they were in a lot of pain the last years of their life. My mom physically, mentally, my sister, obviously, spiritually, emotionally with the addiction, and they were set free. And as much as I missed who they were, you know, when I was younger, they were, you know, I don't like to say, oh, they're in a better place because that's so trite, but like literally it was a good thing. And being okay to say that, because a lot of people don't understand that if you've never experienced it, especially if you're dealing with someone who is an addict and literally internally and mentally anguish every single day, for them to be free of that, it gave me peace. Yeah. And so, yeah, so I would say that those things.
So that's funny because it's not any of the mess or the family situation, but the emotional aspect of the relationship that you had with them. Isn't that interesting how there could have been anything you could have said, but that was
right. I mean, yeah. And like, even with my grandma's stuff, you know, and she was older. So I feel like when you lose someone who's older and like you've had some time with them, it's a lot more like peaceful, you know, it's like knowing that. I think with my grandma, I wish I would have recorded more moments with her and like her stories and remember wins. And, you know, and I know you're talking about like financial planning and backup stuff, but like that's almost a backup plan, like to keep the generations alive, like record stories, write them down, video them. I'm going to do that with my in-laws, just like of how they grew up and moments that they remember with me and my husband and with my husband and all of those things. Cause that's your backup plan too. Cause that's how people remember you. And so doing more of that, I never really did that with my mom, and my dad doesn't remember anything. And my mom is gone. So I'm like, okay, what's the truth here? So if I wish I would have recorded more stories of my mom and my mom's voice, cause I don't have a lot of that. And I wish I would have had more of that.
That's interesting too, because in your backup plan, we do webinars on legacy and leaving a legacy, because it truly is a memory that you can keep. And so we talk in the webinars about handwriting, to be able to see what their handwriting looked like.
Yep.
Or their recipes or their stories or poetry or songs, or they played music or...
do have songs. Like I listen to songs specifically for my mom, and Christmas she was really big on. So I have a few pieces of that. And then something I pulled out that the other day that was like handwritten of my mom, you know, and it's just little things like that, that truly really matter. And that's what I'm saying. Like with leaving your kids stuff, it's even if you don't have big stuff, it doesn't have to be like a house or a car. It could literally be a book or a recipe or whatever, but that you want to give your kid,
Somebody. Yeah.
Yes. Or someone in your life. Yes. I use kids because of kids, but yes, like siblings and all, whoever.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Because I even went to my aunt's house a few months ago, and I said, she was showing me around, and she had this old dictionary, and it was like humongous. Like an old dictionary. And I said, oh my God, like, what are you going to do with that book? She says, oh, I don't know. Kids don't want it. I said, I'll have it, put my name on it, and make sure you put something on the inside to write something really nice on there for me too, so that I have it to keep. Mm-hmm. That's so priceless.
Yes.
So priceless. All of those things. Because like you said, after the fact, you say, oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had that for Christmas. I wish I had a sound of her voice when I feel like listening to it.
Yep.
You know, all of these different things, all of them. So yes. Important. Well, that's amazing. We're just past halfway time, but I want to make sure everybody knows to like, share, and subscribe down here in our channel. And our Tabitha's information is all down below in the description box. So, and I'll make sure it's down there after the show is over for everybody as well. So you can reach out to Tabitha there. So where did all of this mess and schmozzles get to where you are now? Like, why did it get to you, what you're doing?
Well, you know, my sister struggled my whole life with addiction and eating disorders and different things. So I think that always created in me a want to know about human behavior. And my mom suffering from a chronic illness, I always wanted to help people feel better. I hated people in pain. I always wanted to help people in any way I could. So I think that was rooted in me through those experiences, because when you watch your mom in excruciating pain and you will do anything to help her, you just, mm-hmm. you immediately, you know, you learn those skills. And so I think through those, that resiliency of like, not just giving up, you know, because my mom battled it for 26 years,
wow.
you know, chronic illness. And so you see that resiliency, you see that determination. And like with my sister, just watching her, like, she was so beautiful and she was an amazing nurse and all these things, and how one little viewpoint of yourself can just derail everything. And so it just taught me different things of different perspectives. And then like losing them so young, you know, like what mm-hmm. I want to teach my daughters and the legacy that I want to leave. And right now my project literally is legacy wealth building. And it's not just about the money. It's mm-hmm. about what you leave your kids in a sense of like their character, what you instill in them to get them to grow and for their little minds to create and do all these things and not just be in a box, and for it to look yeah. for generations, you know, not just right here and right now. My sister was a very like instant gratification, you know, like if it wasn't going to give me instant gratification, I wasn't going to put, you know, and so that taught me like, well, that's not really serving you right now. So maybe it's not about instant gratification. And so looking at that like long-term and saying like, I want to do what I can for my health. It really fueled me to help take care of my mind, my body, think differently about things, think differently about like food, and but also like things that I put into my mind and my gifts and everything. I mean, inevitably everything, because when you see somebody so beautiful with so many gifts, that can do so much for the world, and they choose something that's so negative and toxic and derailing, it shifts your perspective. You either follow them and say, yeah, what's it worth? Or you're like, no, I'm going to do the complete opposite. I just chose to do the complete opposite.
It's hard to watch, isn't it? To stand mm-hmm. by and watch.
Yeah, it really is.
Both in an illness and somebody with an illness in a different way.
Yep.
And they're just slowly killing themselves mm-hmm. in so many ways. And it's so sad.
Yes.
So that's beautiful. So what do you spend time with helping people do now?
So currently we are shifting. Like I've been a coach for over 16 years. I started health and fitness. And over the years, it's crazy because just my experience with addiction, like with my sister, people come to me, I'm like, I'm not a therapist. I'm not specialized in this, but I have my experience to share. And this is what it was. And so people have come to me for different areas of that, personal development, business development. We've been investors for almost 20 years. So, you know, people come to me. And so my heart has always been in helping families create legacy and wealth building, because I know what financial scarcity can do. And I know what financial abundance can do. And I want to help families get to the financial abundance because it can give you time back. It can give you so many more choices. It can give you so much. But when you do it in a way that's united as a family, when you can have that vision, And we do it through, you know, helping families buy their first income property, because a lot of people want to do it. They have the knowledge, they've seen the podcast, taken the courses, but they've never done it. And we want to help them execute that this year and really start building their real estate portfolio, but taking that first step, not looking at all the big things you can do, because there's some great things you can do in real estate, but taking that first step and buying that income property, bringing your family in, letting them see it, you know, even having them help you pick out, you know, whatever. Our kids helped us. They've helped us over the years renovate properties, get properties, go pick up rent, like do all those things, right? They know all that because they know, like, we're doing it for our family. It's allowed us so much more freedoms, and we want to help families do that, but not just in real estate, but like ways of, like, you know, tax strategies and wealth building and creating that legacy for 3, 4, 5 generations down the line. What does that take? Well, it takes building their character, different characteristics, spending time with them, teaching them things that go deeper than the tangible, like, tax breaks, right? Like, yeah, like the whole instant gratification thing. Like, this is what delayed gratification does, and this is what scarcity mindset does, and this is what abundance does. And so working with the whole family, and then entrepreneurs are busy, so they don't necessarily think they have time for a rental property. And so we're here to, like, what we call trim the fat for them and make it really, like, simple and effective, and that so that they can start building that now and then for generations to come.
That's so cool, because I think a lot of times people don't realize how easy it can be.
Mm-hmm. It's just taking that step. I mean, people ask me, like, how are we different? And I'm like, honestly, the education of it, like, our strategy of what we do is a little bit different. But, like, I mean, the basic steps of real estate are pretty simple. You can't really be, like, super creative. I mean, it's like you buy a house, you get renters in it, you know, like, I mean, that, but there's definitely little tricks, strategies, hacks, the community of it, the consulting, it's the certainty. It's having someone walk alongside you, connecting with you, almost giving you permission. Like, it's okay to do this. When do you renovate? How do you renovate? How do you, you know, screen for good tenants? Like, what areas do you buy in, and those little things, but, like, having that person in that community walk alongside you, especially when you've invested in a program, because you are going to follow through with it. See, yeah, that's the thing. There's a lot of these, like, you know, even free groups, which I think are great. But when you're talking about wealth building, you got to have some skin in the game, because otherwise it's too easy to say, I'll do it tomorrow. It's kind of like with the backup plan. If I paid you $10,000 and then I did nothing with it, that's the stupidest thing I could do. But yeah, it's like, when you invest in it, then it's like, okay, I'm definitely going to do this because I have skin in the game here. And then I'm going to trust you. Like, I'm consulting with you, and I'm, you know, the strategies are there, and we make it really simple. Like I said, really simple and effective. And I think that's really, like, our sweet spot. It's like, when you have that connection and that collaboration and you make it simple and effective, so people understand it, because in real estate and wealth building and taxes, I told my husband, it's, like, so stiff and so, like, in a box, and it's just boring and nobody wants to learn about it. And it's like, if we can make it fun and, like, peaceful and joy for the whole family so they can all be in on it, like, that's what it's about. And we didn't have that. And so we struggled a lot, and there was a lot of things that we would have done differently, and we would have grown faster.
Absolutely.
And so it's like, if we can help a family grow faster and be better at it, then that's what we want to do for them.
Absolutely. It's so true. It's so complicated, and there's so many things that come up, and you wonder, it's like any business, really.
Yep.
Like, what do I do when? They didn't tell me that part.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. What kind of final message? I hate to give up the story because it's so interesting. What final message would you like to give the listeners?
If you're on here, you're clearly interested in taking care of your family beyond your living. I mean, that's just really ultimately why we do this, right? Because we love our loved ones. And I said this before, but I'm just going to preface this again. It's a gift to be prepared for you to have the hard conversations. And as I'm telling you guys this, I'm telling myself this, because I'm realizing how unprepared we are. And yes, you can say, I'm only 38, but my sister was 38. My sister was 38 when she passed away. So we never know how much time we have. And if you truly love your family, you will have those conversations with them. And like in our family, any hard conversation, you know, because I have teenagers. So there's a lot of awkward conversations. And I just say, you get to decide if it's awkward. You get to decide if it's emotional. Death happens. It's inevitable. You cannot avoid it. It will happen. Now, if I was talking bankruptcy, you may never go bankrupt. So that's silly to say everybody goes bankrupt, but everybody will die. And that is just the truth. And as hard as it is, if you can talk about it in a way that's open, first of all, it allows your family to know that it's open to have feelings about it. So then the grieving process is a lot more healing. In our family, the one thing that has always helped is we've always been open about like my sister's addiction. And like, if we ever hid that, it would have been a lot harder to move on and find peace. So like the more open you can be with death and with your affairs, that's a gift that you get to give your family. And you teach them to do that for their families, whether that's siblings, parents, kids, you allow them the opportunity, like, man, she had everything. That was so nice. Like, that was so nice. I'm going to gift that to, you know, to my family.
Oh, that's beautiful. I think you have so much more to say about all of those things really down deep inside of you.
Yeah. I mean, it just is. I feel like even as I say it, it's just a matter of doing it. You know, I think a lot of people want to do it and they're like, okay, yeah, I want, like I, with my kids, like I want to do this. And then I think another thing too is for us, it's like, do I get a lawyer? Like what kind of legalities? What is all the red tape? Nobody told me that. Do I just write it on a notepad? You know, it's like the strategic, like, okay, what's next? Like, how do I do this? And what is this? And you know, you can talk about it if you have a spouse, like for your kids, but like, if it's like my dad just got remarried. And I'm like, Dad, you have got to get your stuff in order because she was married before and lost a spouse and he was married and lost a spouse and they want their stuff to stay separate. I'm like, you have to get this. And it's okay to have that conversation. And it's not morbid. It's just loving. And I think if you change the premise from where you're feeling to like loving, and it's hard. Like when I really think about like my husband dying, I don't want to, but that doesn't avoid all the stuff that I'm going to have to do. He's a farmer. We're real estate investors. Oh my gosh. There's so much red tape. Are you kidding me? Like it's going to be a nightmare whether I know it or not. So I might as well know it and have like one up on it. Right. Like
that's right. That's what I say too. You know, it's crazy because of all the stuff that we accumulate and guys like farmers with all their equipment or toys and tools and, Or I had a husband and wife who he had a hobby collecting fire trucks. Strange hobby. But people collect all sorts of weird, interesting things. And his was fire trucks. So if you don't have that family conversation about what to do with those fire trucks when he goes, what do you do with them?
Yep.
How do you know how much they're worth without somebody coming in and taking you for an idiot? You know, oh, she's just a woman. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
So there's so many different parts of it. And that's why I liked putting together your backup plan for that reason.
Yeah.
Was because you could just go down that list and say, oh, I'll do that section this month.
Yeah.
I'll look into this stuff.
Yep.
And I'll figure this part out.
Yep. For sure.
And then I'll wait a month and then maybe next month I'll do this part. You know, and then pretty soon it's all done. But I always say if you have one section done, you're way further ahead than most people.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Just take that first step. Just progress forward.
Oh, and I have an idea for your girls. So you want to give a diamond ring to each of them. You can have your cremation ashes put into a diamond.
We have looked into that actually because my mom was cremated. And so we saw the stuff for cremation and we thought that was pretty unique too. So yeah, definitely something to think about.
That's really nice to be able to make sure you pass it on to who you want to pass that all that stuff on to.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So that was my little idea.
Yes, that I thank had you for that. You. Yeah, absolutely.
With so many girls.
Yes, so many girls.
Oh, yes. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Tabitha. I'm so excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You are full of information, and not even just emotional part, but people do not know what they're going to deal with after.
Right. And that's something that's the one thing you really can't fully prepare for, but everything else you can. So you might as well prepare for what you can, because you're going to be blindsided by the emotion no matter what. You just are.
You are. Your own, as well as who are they right now? I can't believe what happens in families and friends. People disappear or turn into Heckle and Jekyll. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
So thank you for all of your really good words of wisdom and tips for everybody. Thank you.
You are welcome. You are welcome.
Thank you for coming on our show today. Well, guys, that's another episode with Tabitha here coming from Nebraska with all of her great tips and tricks. I can't believe, and she made everything perfectly crystal clear because she's been through it. She's been through it in three different ways. Mm-hmm. And if you had a fourth one, there might be even another way. But, it is so true. Some people have things done. Some people have a little bit done. Some people have nothing done.
Yep.
So there's a whole variation and a whole lot of grief and sadness and pain around the family and around the death and around the whole dysfunctional family situation, I guess. I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know.
Right.
Say that I know that part. But we're not Superman, and we know that something's going to happen to us at some point, but we tend to not look at it. And that's why I brought Tabitha on our show today to tell us a little bit about the after part of what that might look like and what you can do to avoid it. So thank you, Tabitha, for coming on our show today. And thank you, listeners, for coming on. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Remember, we have another show coming up next week. I'm so looking forward to it. And don't forget our free webinars over on our Facebook group, which we talk about leaving a legacy. We talk about having family conversations and how to have fun and do that. There's nothing like lots of appies and drinks and wine when you're having a family conversation to make it a little bit more interesting. And also to talk about the app that it's available on iTunes and Apple on Android, on Google, and it helps you have that assistant to get through what you need to find, what you need to do next. So that being said, thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our show today. Thank you, Tabitha, and thank you, listeners. Stay safe and be kind. Till next week. Bye.